What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened to us, and if you're new, welcome to the table. We are Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, and we may not be an actual play podcast, but we're a podcast that hopes to help you actually play. We consist of three DMs, and we roll on a list of themes and scenarios and work together to create a session, or perhaps a campaign. And with that out of the way, allow us to introduce ourselves. I'm Malcolm.
I'm David.
And I'm Sam, a.k.a. DM Mambo.
All right, let me just pull up the question that we have today, because I don't have that up right now. Whoops. Do a question of the week. Oh. Let's go with, what's your favorite house rule, guys? Now, for those who are kind of new to D&D and are listening to this podcast to get into it, and then at the same time, for some reason, start with our version instead of Rich and Cam's, house rules are rules that are specific to you, like your group, things that you've altered or changed. So it's not something that's part of the official rule book, but D&D's rule book's more of a guideline book anyway, so almost everything's a house rule, but you guys, go ahead and tell us about yours.
My favorite are using plot points in the session, which are the DMG has some options for you to do them. But what I do for my games are called plot shots, where I set an alarm on my phone randomly, and then it goes off, and wherever we are, no matter if we're in the middle of a combat or a dramatic role-playing situation, we all take a shot of alcohol, and then I roll usually a D4 or D6, depending on how many players I have, and whoever that number ends up on, they get to add something to the game, as long as it's not, like, game-breaking. So if they're in a dungeon, they can't be like, I found the loot, and the dragon's dead, and the shortcut's right behind him, and we walk out, and everyone's fine, as long as it's nothing like that. But last time I did it, I had a player throw a beholder at the party, and I was like, what? You are level 2.
Behold their creation.
That's amazing. Like,
y'all gonna die now, but okay. Yeah.
Well, why did they want a beholder there, if I can ask?
So we were practicing for an upcoming session. We had a month off from recording and stuff, and I wanted to just try out a unique kind of session that I had. So they were in like a battle dome, and he was like, a trap door suddenly appears underneath the sand that we're fighting on, and a chained up beholder pops out, and he looks mad. And I was like, yep. Let me go find the beholder page. And
well, at least it was chained. Like,
he cut the chain. Good. His next turn.
Oh, well. Well.
He was like, I go over and I burn the chain off. And I was like, what are you doing?
And that's when you go, I hope you brought another character today.
Yeah, it was fun. Some shenanigans. He ultimately convinced it to, like, be free. And now that beholder owes him a favor. So, I definitely also like Rule of Cool. So, I don't like telling my players no, because then they just get disappointed, and I like to let them be as creative as possible, because that's what combined storytelling is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was going to say mine is. It's a little bit of a cheat answer, just because almost everyone uses Rule of Cool. I know the rules, and I know kind of like how things are supposed to happen, but I will often give my players just the chance to throw out random stuff and come up with creative roles. And if it's if it sounds like it would work or if it makes sense in whatever way that they come up with, then I'll let them try it. And sometimes that can definitely go outside of rules as written for how things are supposed to be accomplished. But it's almost always improves the game, or at least the session that we're in.
Going similarly off of the rule of cool, mine is much more, it's a little looser than even rule of cool allows. It's allowing players to basically do anything with the knowledge that the world will react to them accordingly. Like, I'm not going to tell them no, they can't do something, but if it's something that seems impossible, that they somehow figure out a way to do, I was like, you're not going to like what probably comes from that. For example, first time ever DMing, I had a player when we first got the party together who was like, I want to sing the Russian national anthem when I walk into town. And I was like, why? And he was like, because my character is going to come from the motherland. And I was like, but you don't. We wrote out your story. We know where you're from. Like, that's your thing. No, you don't come. And he was like, well, I want to call that place the motherland or the fatherland. And I was like, oh, okay. So you're going to refer to your kingdom as the fatherland and you want to sing the Russian national anthem. And he was like, yeah. I was like, roll for it. And he rolled a nat 20. No joke. His first roll of the game was a nat 20 for this pointless thing about the Russian national anthem, about making that canon in my D&D universe. And so I was like, I see what game we're playing now. And I instantly went, all right. I was like, nobody's ever heard of that song, but it now exists in your world. You've made it that you have brought that into existence. That's not a thing from your kingdom. That's a thing that you made in that moment, and you can say it's from there, but it's not a thing that everyone's gonna know. No one knows what that is. So he was like, oh, yeah. So he was like, I'm going to go everywhere and spread this song and, like, tell people the tale of how great my kingdom is. And I was like, cool. Do that. Nobody's going to know until you do it. So it's not going to be a thing of, like, oh, I heard of you. It's going to be a thing of, oh, I've never heard that before. And people will talk about it. So to me, it's a lot bringing, because I want people to be able to bring whatever they want really into existence in the world. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I want it to be reasonable in the sense of what they do. But also, anyone who's listening who's from my original group or my group of friends knows that my party shenanigans typically end up pretty crazy, whether I'm a player or a DM. So it doesn't really matter so much for me as far as rules go. I'm going to try to skirt them as best I can, but, you know, that's life. Yeah.
Well, I think on a separate note, I have a question for you, Mambo.
Ooh, I like questions.
Shall we roll?
Let's do it! Sorry, I've been binge watching Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, yo, that's great.
One of the best intros ever. It should be now. Also, I found out that there's an old Japanese TV show called Capsule Man, where the creator of Pokemon just copied it and made Pocket Monsters, which he was originally going to call Capsule Monsters, and was like, that's too close. And I was like, man, lucky you.
You said he made Pocket Monsters?
Yeah, that's what Pokemon stands for.
No, that's, yeah, okay. That's what I was going to say. That's all I was like.
Yeah, he wanted to call him Capsule Mons because it was too close to Capsule Man, who would go around catching, like, Godzillas and stuff in giant capsules.
You know, that sounds way cooler, honestly. I want to catch Godzilla in a Pokeball.
So, David, which table are you on today?
Today I am on scenarios.
Great, because we got a nat 20 on the themes.
I'm rolling a different dice today. I've got this big blue one. Ooh. And I hope it doesn't break my table.
Oh, I'm rolling these nice gold ones from Dark Silver Forge that I got at BlurredCon a year ago.
Nice, gentlemen. And what'd you get there, David?
I rolled a 12 for the scenario.
12? Well, let's see. Well, I'm very excited about this. We have the theme being a large-scale battle across the plains, and the scenario is River Rapids.
Okay, so I know when they say plains, they mean the plains of, like, existence. But I'm
yes.
also, in my mind, thinking of now two crash-landed planes on rapid rivers that they're fighting, you know, like two planes side by side, and you have your party go fighting them, like, on top of the wings sounds, and stuff.
As a person who's recently played through a lot of Uncharted, that sounds like something that would be in Uncharted.
So I was just like, battle across planes, like, that'd be fucking wild. Your players come being like, what plane are we going to? The water plane? The earth plane? And you're like, no, we're on planes. You're on
planes. What's that? We can, for it, I was thinking, kind of like the Bifrost from Thor, for like the connection between planes. You could do it that way, and that be the River Rapids.
Oh, these are also brought to you by...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to... Yeah.
Adam LaGravy, I believe. It just says LaGravy, but I think it's them. And,
Warlican. Warlican's for the River Rapids, and LaGravy is for battle... Large-scale army battle across the plains. So it's not just you and your party now. It's everybody. We're endgaming this. We're bringing everybody in.
So this will be a really cool end of a campaign fight.
Well, just the theme alone, large-scale army battle across the plains, sounds really cool. I'm actually kind of reminded, Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension has a point where they're running away from robots. It's a crazy movie. The whole thing's wild. And they just, at one point, are jumping through multiple dimensions while, like, running away from robots. But it'd be real cool if instead of running away from whatever enemy this is, you're fighting them and either the dimension shifts or you're, like, jumping through dimensions while fighting this enemy continuously.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of the Raven Queen. And
I haven't played too much of that. Can you tell me a bit more about it?
She's just a deity in... the D&D pantheon. She's the only, correct me if I'm wrong, the only mortal to become a god. Mm. And she's a lot of people use her as their warlock patrons and stuff like that. But it just reminds me because I think she can, like, change planes and whatnot. And she's, you know, dark and mysterious with the being the Raven Queen. So I think, like, if her army, if she's like, I've taken over the god realm, now I'm going to take over all of them type of scenario, this could be cool.
Kind of like a Shao Kahn.
Yeah. Oh man, who is the Jackie Chan Adventures bad guy?
Oh, I don't. Oh god, it's been so long.
Because I can.
Shao Do?
Bormon, I can get. Haku. Toru. Shinran? Nope, that's Dragon Ball Z.
It's okay, we don't need his name, just tell us what he does.
Well, he does that. He's like, I'm taking over the material realm, and he's a dragon, and he's taken over other universes and whatnot. I think it'd be cool if you had, and he's like in a statue for most of the show, so I think it'd be cool if, like, your party is working for the statue type thing, giving orders and whatnot, and they think they're doing a great part, but in reality, they're helping bring this, like, giant battle to the end, you know, where the person they thought they were helping is now taking over, so now they have to be like, oh crap, do we switch sides and try to find as many people as possible to have this large scale battle at these rapids, or do we do something else, or even maybe the rapids are a way of, like, the planes keep shifting.
Ooh.
So what I thought when I first heard this is, for some reason, maybe it's like the plan of whoever our big bad guy is of the campaign. They've basically caused the elemental plane of water to split, and it's now kind of spreading between all of the other planes. And so it's kind of a passageway, but it's also like a plane that's actually being destabilized. So you'd be able to go from plane to plane.
Shendu.
Essentially on the elemental plane of water.
On a crazy water slide, basically.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Can you go a little further into that?
And so, as this water's kind of just flowing over everything, that's going to create your rapids. You'll have, like, standard rapids when you go through the plane of Earth, where you have rocks and stuff jutting out. But if you go through the plane of air, you're going to have typhoons that you're going to have to navigate through while this battle's going on. You go through the plane of fire, and it's these, like, steam springs. Or there's sections that are just water that's boiling, and so you'll have, like, splashing, kind of inflicting fire damage on your characters.
Oh, I like that. If you get to the realm of death and whatnot, the plane of Hades, you have, like, you're on the river Styx, and if your player falls in,
yep,
type thing. I like that a lot. Earth, it's just Earth.
Using that idea of the rapids causing an interconnective kind of highway, it'd be kind of cool if everybody starts to cross over everywhere. Mm-hmm. It would be a really unmanageable, but guess what? It's a large-scale army battle, mm-hmm. and large-scale army battles don't just have to have two armies. We could just have it be crisis on infinite planes at this point. Just everybody from everywhere being like, we're getting invaded over here in the realm of fire. We need to bring in people from Earth. Oh, Earth people, we're doing this. Well, yeah, but we're getting invaded from people from the air. But, oh, but we're getting invaded from death. And, like, it's just thing on thing on thing of different people. And the cool thing about this will be, in army battles, there's always a viewpoint that there's good guys and bad guys, but it's war. There's not really good guys or bad guys in war. Spoilers. So you can have the people that you don't really think your party would team up with going like, yeah, we don't like you, but we need you to help stop this at this area. And then maybe we can help you go stop this for these other people. It's that, oh, I'll give you this iron if you buy me some cheese. Well, I'll give you the cheese if you go milk this cow. Well, the cow will give you milk if you give it some grass. And like this whole thing where it's like, that kind of chain of you have to do other things first to ultimately solve everything. Mm-hmm. So this one's going to take a lot of planning. DMs who want to know, hey, how am I going to do this at the end?
And you would get to look up and include basically any kind of extraplanar being, and you'd get to have fun with all of their like rivalries, because you'd be like, oh, well, the devils and demons might be messing with other people, but no, now that they have a direct path to each other, they're going to be in constant all-out war. And that's just going to be on one small part of this river.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It's, again, having it be that they can, it's a great way to have it be that everyone can connect. And then also, the River Rapids being, I don't know if you've ever been down River Rapids, but it's dangerous. Yes. So having it be that it's not safe to get to the other places. Mm-hmm. So now you have extraplanal travel. Congratulations. But it's still hazardous and awful. But now it's like you can bring in large-scale armies this way. And that's what could be terrifying about it, is that you have the ability now to bring in an invading force, whereas before you'd be like, well, only one person at a time in a teleportation circle. Like, now it's like, no, I can bring masses and masses of as many as I can carry. I can just bring a ton of pawns if I want to and just have them invade, and then to keep my people back here and send those people in through teleportation. Like, you just have more access, and that's what's great.
Yeah.
And then for the party, having the rapids be dangerous and different for different things, like you had said, like having it be with the fire, like a steam and geysers and things of that mm-hmm. sort shooting up from the water would be
fun. Yeah, I think this definitely would need the relief or the... I've lost my word. I don't know. If you keep going with battle throughout the whole session or multi-sessions, you need a break when it comes to that. So I think those like quick checks make it like a nice refreshing point in the story for your characters. I think you could also have like just a large-scale navy battle mm-hmm. on these rapids. You can just have these large rapids. And as, like, if we're going to go with the devils and demons, you have the devils on one side and the demons are on the other side, and you've warped into the middle. And now you're like, oh, crap. What side do I take? And, man, do I hope we get switched out of here sooner. So I think you actually, as a DM for this, I would make a chart of all the planes, and I would set a time, in a real time, outside of the game time, for whenever I roll. So, like, maybe every 2 minutes I roll and see if I change. So, like, odds I change the plane, evens I don't. And then if I get odds, I then roll again to see what plane they end up in. So that way they're fighting multiple battles at the same time.
Oh, so you're saying they teleport rather than... I was thinking of it again being like a river that connects
everything
in that way, and it connects to all the different...
Right, yeah. I mean, you can have it... I also like that too. So I was just thinking that, like, they just happen to be on a rapid part that swishes them through all the fighting, you know? And then they end up Ooh. In a different part. Mm-hmm. And now they have to readjust and fight this battle, which could be completely different.
And because and that's it's not to say big,
it doesn't, like, swoosh them back into, like, another battle, you know?
Mm-hmm. And because it's so big and twisty, you can just have, yeah, at tons of different points, the shore on each side of this river can be a totally different plane. And it doesn't have to make, like, geographical sense because it's extra planar. So you can be flowing through the river and you'll have the abyss and hell on each side. And then it can change and you'll have, like, the plane of earth and hell or fire or whatever. But something that I think is really cool, whenever you do, like, a water level, it's always really fun to have, like, ships based on specific races. Like, when you have a pirate campaign, you have, like, the ratfolk ship and the vampire ship. But for this one, it could be really interesting because you're going to have just, like, elemental-based ships. So you would need fleets that are kind of based on the elemental planes themselves. So, like, what kind of ship would a fire elemental use to get around and actually fight in these wars is something that's really interesting
concept. I want to see the earth elemental ship. It's like, we have giant rock. And it sinks. But, like, since they don't have to breathe or anything, they're just trudging along on the bottom.
They're the first submarine. Yeah. Come on.
That's good.
Or they're on, like, stilts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not sailing. It's just the whole thing's just connected to the floor. It's just sliding across.
Or we have a real SpongeBob moment, and they're just riding giant rocks.
Oh, I'm into it. I love that.
And that would that would be really interesting too. We talked about, like, going into Hades and you'd see the river Styx, and that's usually portrayed as, like, having, like, draining qualities. So imagine that is now being flooded throughout a lot of the underworld, and you'd be able to play with kind of that quality being kind of dumped into some of the other realms as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool is if you could have that moment of, like, say a beloved NPC has died early on in your campaign. Oh. Now's your chance to be, like, the soul of that is, like, trying to climb on the boat, asking for help type stuff. Just giving your characters even more of a mental dilemma of, oh man, do we just keep plowing through or do we help to save him? Can we save him? What happens if they fall into the river Styx?
Well, Hercules showed us what happens when you fall in the river Styx. Well, that was a great movie.
Everyone's a demigod.
Well, exactly, and it shows what happens when you're not. You get real old and almost turned to dust. But using that kind of factor of, like, what are... Because there's rivers in these worlds that are connected in the sense that that's where this is running through, and that's where the water of this realm also... The water plane being empty, what does that do to that? Like, figuring out, like, what happens now that these things are connected within itself is a really, really interesting and really, really different concept. I don't think we'd ever, I think even if we made this like 3 hours, we wouldn't have time to plan that out, because that's insane. Just say your creativity can run wild. Yeah, like figuring out what happens to the water world, what happens when you have like the realm of fire be like, does it get filled with just water? Does it instead fill up like the lava of the things? Like, how does it work in that sense of like, you know, it can be a lot of different things there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of you knows, but you know what I mean. Okay, so who are we thinking for, like, so we're saying this should be kind of a big bad thing at the end here, where it's like, they do that.
I think so. I think this is the guy you set up from the beginning of your campaign, who is the mastermind, the BBEG.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So,
and that can be what your players are trying to do. So, like, this connection happens, and the players know what the bad guy's goal is, and they need to try and convince these warring bodies between the planes to kind of put aside their war and come and help, or the rest of reality is going to be destroyed. Just like so the plane, elemental plane of water was.
So is the goal here to destroy the realms, to have the realms merged, or to like just get everybody to just attack each other? Like, what's the ultimate goal here for this hypothetical?
I think the ultimate goal is to catch the BBEG. And maybe they have on their ship or whatever they're
using. I'm sorry. I meant the ultimate goal of the villain, not the ultimate goal of the party.
I would say domination of all the planes would be my idea, at least, where they're just trying to get or create as much chaos as possible. Discord. So they could like maybe go grab this one artifact that will give them ultimate power. Collect 7 gems, put it in a giant gauntlet, and
I was about to say, some sort of infinite gauntlet. It's not a gauntlet you wear, it's one you drink from. It's different. But
yes. The Holy Grail.
Oh, the Holy Grail is the infinity gauntlet. Yeah, you got it here first, guys.
And your bad guy's name's gotta be Monty.
Oh, yes. Okay, there we go.
And he just carries around a snake.
We could make him a either a god of snakes or even a Yonti.
Yeah, it could be a Naga, an evil Naga spirit.
Oh, I like this. Okay, now we're microwaving. All right, let's... nobody cooks with gas anymore. Everybody microwaves.
Yeah, I think there's a Mayan or Aztec snake god who we could use here. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I was actually watching a thing about dragons.
Yes.
And it came out that a lot of lore regarding dragons is very similar throughout cultures, so it would not surprise me if there are snake gods, because snakes are very similar to dragons in a lot of senses.
Yeah.
I think Quetzalcoatl was a thunderbird. I don't know if it's also portrayed as a snake. But something I think we've been kind of focusing on, like, the elemental planes. Something that's also interesting to throw a wrench in this is most of the planes that are considered, like, heaven, the afterlife, are also actual planes in D&D. So those would also be connected as part of this. So
No, that's why I was like, full out war between all realms, because it's just like, oh, you have people who don't like each other finally able to just go at it.
Oh, I agree. I think that's, I would say you'd have to do them all. So I think that's why this bad guy, the Naga or whatever we want to use, is like
the Naga
is. Or developed or found these rapids that are sending them through all of these different realms. They could even get a head start on the party And if they get the start a head start, then maybe a water elemental is like, we need your help type thing. So they're just going for help, and then they realize, oh, this is much bigger. And now it's like they're being attacked by the allies of the Snaga. They're being sent to different planes, and they're trying to get a head start type thing. But I think like maybe the Naga's like going in first and being like, hey, there's a party behind me. You have to stop them, or they're the ones doing this. I'm trying to stop them. So you're like angels attacking you, and you're like, we're the good guys, you know?
Well, you're fighting angels. Are you the good guys?
Right.
That's actually a really interesting concept of like having this person be like the ambassador to several different realms, or know the people in charge, and like either disguising themselves and going like, no, trust me, my lord, this is gonna happen. They're going to try to invade you. They're using the water for this. And then going down to a different realm and go, no, trust me, they're gonna invade you. It's happening. They're gonna do it. It's the, you have to strike first, and just doing that everywhere, and you just constantly catching the aftermath of that would be very interesting. Good.
Yeah, and if you catch this episode before you start writing your campaign, and you use this as your like endpoint, you can throughout the campaign throw in these encounters of the different realms, and have your party like if they F up a diplomatic situation, they've lost an ally for this fight. So say like they're rude to some angel that they meet, and now that angel is the one who decides, do we attack them or do we go on their side type of thing? Mm-hmm. And just whatever actions they have throughout the campaign either increases or decreases the influence this Naga spirit has on the different planes.
Yeah, you could have a... Yeah, I like that. Very Mass Effect-y, but in a good way.
Yeah, just like if he is going into Hades and he's like, hey, Hades, I bet you $10 that these party is going to come in and try to, like, fight your men. I need you to help me to stop them because they're trying to destroy the whole plane. And he's like, no, no, I watched. They helped my... They cured Kerberos from his fleas. So I like them.
Three-headed fleas.
You know? Yeah, he had so many bad demon fleas that... they were able to help him.
Fighting demon fleas sounds like a crazy encounter.
Yeah, I gotta remember this one.
Yeah, this is gonna be, this would be very cool to run.
I think if I was gonna run this in like a serious campaign, more serious than normal, my motivation for the bad guy would be kind of that trope of like, God has taken everything from me, and so I'm going to go fight God. And so using this waterway of the broken elemental plane of water would be the way that they're able to get to whoever they're trying to fight. So it could be like revenge driven, where they are causing all this destruction without really caring, just for vengeance.
I always like the idea, not that all villains have to be the good guys of their own story, but the concept in this case of like, no, I'm going to, these boundaries shouldn't be here. We can't get to peace if we're constantly separate. So it's like a thing of like, I'm going to put you, it's the war equivalent of, I'm going to put you in a room until you guys sort it out. And it's just like, either way, it's going to solve itself. But we can't do that if everyone's constantly just waiting to murder each other. So I'm going to give them the chance to murder each other. Eventually they'll get tired of murdering, and then we can build from there.
Yeah, so I just looked up the Spirit Naga. It's on page 335 of the Player's Handbook, I believe, or Monster Manual, one of the two. And it says, Spirit Nagas live in gloom and spitefulness, consistently plotting vengeance against creatures that have wronged them.
Okay, so David, your makes way more sense. We're going to go with you.
or that believe they have wronged them. So Yeah, so basically they devote their time developing new spells and enslaving the mortals with which they surround themselves.
It could be like cast out or something.
I think it definitely, maybe one of the gods or something like that wronged him or wronged them. And now this is the revenge. Because if it's a spirit Naga, then it already is like kind of in the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. Where it could know more about, like, oh, there's this river that if I enchant or damage its connection, its anchor point to the mortal realm will break, and I'll be able to use it to transfer in and out of different planes, causing havoc, thusly getting power and more allies along the way to go and kill this god.
Suggestion. Storm God. For some reason, when I was watching that dragon video, I would actually like shout it out, but I don't remember what the name of it is, and I don't want to look it up. But when I was watching that dragon video, they talked about how, for some reason, in most versions of lore, the things that beat up dragons are storm gods. It's not clear why. It's not clear why storm gods have such an issue with snakes, but they do. Snakes and dragons, they're just like, gotta murder them. So to have it be that it's like, no, the storm god wronged me, if you're doing like a Norse campaign, Thor is perfect.
But Poseidon is an asshole, so like he's perfect too.
I am so happy we've moved to Norse mythology, because I was just about to bring it up. I think a really interesting way to kind of have this as the waterway is, this is essentially Ragnarok. All of these planes have been consumed by Jormungandr, the world serpent, and the water that flows through, kind of like what would take you to the stomach, that is the elemental plane of water, because it's the first one he ate.
Yo. Oh. Okay.
And so that ties in. If it's like this Naga serpent, or Naga spirit, then they could have some kind of connection to the world serpent itself.
The world serpent could be their instrument of revenge. It could be like,
I unleashed it. I started Ragnarok.
In my campaign, well, and also, spoilers for Ragnarok, for those who care, the actual event, not the movie, the world serpent dies in Ragnarok. So how freaking crazy would it be if this, like, spirit Naga's like, I know a way to change that. You just got to eat the realms. And it's like, what? And it's like, yeah, eat all the realms and you won't die during Ragnarok.
That can be the party's tie-in. So if they've been working with this spirit Naga, correct me if I'm wrong, but Thor and the World Serpent die fighting each other. So you can interfere,
I believe, with
Thor as your party, because Thor is sometimes seen as like an asshole. So you could kind of be thinking you're doing good by messing with him. And then it weakens him enough that Jormungandr does not die and is able to eat the world, or eat the universe, the multiplane verse, whatever we're going to call it.
I like that. There is another type of Naga as well, called the Guardian Naga, which I believe is...
That's like the opposite of the Spirit Naga.
Yeah, this is the nice
very
one.
Good.
So you could have both of those in there. If
you gotta have a scene where both are wrapped around Thor and one's speaking like lies and one's still going like, no, you have to do the right thing. So you just have the devil and angel moment.
Or you have, oh man, if you have a really dumb barbarian in your party, you definitely got the Krunk thing going.
Oh, Krunk. But yeah, having... Okay, I really like this. Now that we got more snakes involved, I am like, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. And I mean, you could even... So if they just mess with Thor and they don't see the battle, that could be something that they see once they're inside. And it could be pointed out, like, just at some point the stars go out. And that's because you've been swallowed. And you eventually kind of see inside the world serpent...
Oh.
That there's this like battlefield that it has eaten because it's grown large enough to do so. And you would see this god you've been messing with, Thor, dead on the ground of this battlefield.
I think it's more impactful if you see the death of Thor and or cause the death of Thor. I think that you, I think that's what the spirit Naga is going to come to you with. It's like, Thor's going to end the world. I'm here to stop it. And it's like, cool. But you don't think about what that means. Like the idea that maybe Ragnarok's not a bad thing because ultimately, it's the end of the universe, and I don't know enough about Norse mythology to know what comes after that, but I thought there was like a rebirth period or something starts over. Or, and if not, well, it's D&D universe, D&D Norse, you can do whatever you want. But,
and that could even be like someone's point is like, they kind of make a joke like, what were we in before? Like, sure, we're inside this giant serpent now, but it's not so bad.
It was all a simulation.
What were we inside before?
Then you wake up and you're in the Matrix and you're playing Cyberpunk 2020. Welcome to the new game. Learn the rules.
I also like the idea that I think you said, David, where this spirit Naga is, or whatever is eating these different planes. Like, at first you see, like, oh, it hasn't rained in like weeks or whatnot. And as you're like progressing through the campaign, you start to like realize like as it ate the realm of water or the plane of water, water stopped getting to the material plane. And then all of a sudden it like eats the plane of fire and man has lost the ability to create fire. So they're seeing all these different things like the stars go out. And all this, and like, what's going on? Until it finally starts eating the material plane itself. And I think that's when your battle starts. So they have opportunities to, like, prevent this. Because I think players should always have an opportunity to prevent something from happening. Just because I very much try not to railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes as a storyteller, I have to remind myself that, like, just because this is the ending I want doesn't mean the ending is what I'm going to... This is the ending I'm going to get. So I think if you provide them opportunities to, like, stop stages of this, and if they don't, then you get what you want, and you get this large military battle across all the planes of the multiverse, and which would be great. But I think if you provide opportunities, or if you just start dropping hints of, like, oh... Yeah, it hasn't rained in a couple days, and food is starting to become scarce. Large forests are dying type thing. And you're like, how do we fix this? And then you can start to be like, oh, you find out that there's like a spirit snake eating the world or type, you know, eating planes and stuff like that.
I was actually going to take that a little different way. I was going to have it be that you have those events happening slowly but surely. People start to try to camp for the night, can't start a fire. They can't find a lot of fresh water coming in. It's all just kind of stagnant or it's limited now, which is weird. And then you have the spirit Naga who comes in, who's like, yo, who knows whose fault this is? Thor's fault. Go kill him.
Oh, and then, yes.
And so it's like, whoa, what'd Thor do? And you can have... So again, I say again, as a DM, do not lie to your players. As a character... Lie all you want, because that's what people do, and that's what an evil spirit, hell-bent on vengeance, would do, is to go, oh, you know, Thor's really at fault for this, because in its mind, that wouldn't even be a lie. It's like, no, Thor caused me to want to get revenge, so yeah, it's Thor's fault. So it's this whole thing where it's like, all right, your party goes in. If your party brings an army and kills Thor, or if your party somehow you depower Thor enough, where he can be beaten by your party. And it's like, how? We beat you, Thor. And Thor's like, you fools. This was a ruse. This is what it wanted. Spirit Naga comes in, kills Thor. Ragnarok begins anew with this version. Where it's like, now your plane's getting eaten by this. And the Spirit Naga's like, I won. Peace. Like, good luck with your whole realm battle. I got what I wanted.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Adios. I'm out.
I destroyed everything and I win. Like, yeah.
This could even be, rather than, like, the end of a campaign, it could be the beginning of a campaign. If you don't have, like, the direct influence, you could just experience everything kind of being swallowed.
That would be kind of... It, and then also all your things would come back once you're back in the belly of the beast, as it were.
Yeah, I also think you could play it as the rebirth of society.
I mean, that's... You know? So, I was just kind of Googling it. That's apparently what Ragnarok was about. Essentially, it was the gods of Norse mythology fighting all of the evil in the world. Most of the gods died, but they kill all of the evil. And then the only two humans left repopulate the earth. There's some remaining gods, and they kind of talk about, man, Ragnarok sucked, as, like, PTSD victims.
Yeah, I like that idea of, like, I think once a plane is, like, eaten or ate, whichever is appropriate, like, you lose that part. Or water, like you said, Malcolm, is harder to get now. So it just makes it that more precious. And if your players are, like, doing a long travel in this new world, and you're like, if you don't have water with you, you can die, it just adds, like, a little bit of more stakes to your campaign.
Yeah, I think that having it be this big... And then again, of course, however you want to do the big battles, whether you're assembling an army, maybe... You're not leading it, but maybe you're going from realm to realm trying to get the people who will actually listen and go, hey, look, this is what's happening. In a campaign I'm playing right now, that's my character's goal. It's just go like, hey, I worship the world snake, so I don't want it to die. It dies in Ragnarok, and my friends are trying to cause that, and I'm chill with everything, but Ragnarok is like... Cool, but I don't want my god to die, so what do I do? Like, and so, in this sense, it could be a thing of, again, it's kind of now actual spoilers for Thor Ragnarok, slight spoilers, which is that, like, the idea of, like, accomplishing Ragnarok, but not. Like, you can have a situation where it's like, yeah, everything that was supposed to happen happened. Do a Macbeth. Have it be that it's like, hey, no woman born a man can kill me. And it's like, well, yeah, but I wasn't born. I was removed. It's a different stab. And it's like, oh, no. Like, it's that kind of skirting a prophecy that can really work in this circumstance, because you can have it be that it's like, well, you're in uncharted territory now. Ragnarok hasn't gone as it was supposed to. You've been eaten by a world snake that was supposed to die fighting Thor, but now Thor died. What do? Like, it wasn't supposed to go down like this. So you can have a lot of really different and creative things. If you want to go all God of War and fight the whole pantheon, sure. That'd be kind of a waste of time, but I'm not here to tell you how to run this version of the campaign. I think we got a good one here, guys.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so too. Should we move on in to the
recap and synopsis?
Yes.
Sure. Today it looks like, Malcolm, you're going to be on the recap. Sam, you will be on the synopsis.
Okie doke.
Cool. Alrighty, so I'm going to recap what we just talked about. So it seems that we're going to have a campaign across multiple... I almost said dimensions, planes, to use the word that they've used, where we have a snake god or world serpent who devours planes one by one, thus weakening the connection to, or completely shutting off the connection to, different elements within our own world. Thus, fires burn less likely or less brightly. Water is more scarce. Eventual magic and different elemental connections to the spirit realm will begin to fade, ultimately up until you have your big fight, whether that be with Thor or whatever person you want to put there. While your dimension is being eaten, where it's then confessed that, hey, you know, it all went wrong because you didn't do it right, and now you're inside of a world serpent with all the rest of the realm, so maybe your stuff comes back if you're a benevolent DM, or maybe everything's too separate still. Maybe there's wars going on between the realms, or maybe you just need to figure out how to connect to those other realms to amass an army to fight this spirit Naga who's betrayed you. Otherwise, the The choices matter, but they're all up to you, or whatever they say on Legends of to the Hidden Temple. All right. Sam, are you ready with that sweet synopsis?
I am. I think I've got a good one. We'll see.
Alrighty.
Your party has just got on to a boat, and they have been working very hard with this Naga, this guardian Naga, who is basically a green cobra, helping them protect the world. As they go down this lazy river, the water starts to tremble and become rough. They have entered a patch of rapids. They start going faster and faster. They look to their left. They see a battlefield of demons and devils. They look to their right. They see the Fae Eladrin fighting off gnolls. They go look back to the left. Now they're in the Underdark. They look back to the right. They see devils fighting, or they see angels fighting other angels. Chaos is happening. And they look back, and their guardian Naga is shedding the skin, the gold, or no, sorry, the emerald scaled skin that it once had is shedding into a black and red, basically a molten rock kind of look. Its beautiful golden eyes turn into deep red rubies, and as it looks at them saying, "Thank you for completing my mission. I will now eat your plane." As it grows by ten Nagas, I can't think of the word right now. It grows by 10. It's large. It's now a giant snake. As it floats up into the sky, you see its mouth open wide, and you see the other planes inside of its stomach. Now the true battle starts. And it was a little choppy, but that's what I've got.
Nice.
Very much Willy Wonka's river.
There's no earthly way of knowing.
Oh, yeah. I wish I remembered really that. the guardian Naga is Willy Wonka until he turns into the
oh, that's the so great. As you're flowing down. And they're certainly not, as it's like molting, any signs of slowing.
Yes. Oh, damn. I wish I'd remember that to say that.
Oh, man. That would be so horrifying. I'm doing that if I ever do a thing where I have them be led by somebody down the river Styx or something. Just da 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 da, just a monstrous tree.
Oh, just the vision of them hitting a hard wave and the river Styx, green liquid flows over into the boat as like an after spray.
Oh, you have to dodge it, or you like take either permanent damage or
you
like
age.
You age.
Oh.
See, my thing is, what does age do in D&D really though?
So I know in like older editions there were age categories where they completely changed, like, all of your attributes. So if you went up in age category, all of your physical scores would drop by 2, and your mental scores would increase by 2. So, like, -2 yeah. Strength, dex, con, +2 int, wiz, charisma.
The way I do it in mine is, like, if you get to a certain point, you have penalties against, like, your speed, walking, your constitution, all of that stuff, just because you can't take a battle axe hit like you were when you're 20. You can't really hold.
I won't take a battle axe hit anyway.
Right, but you know what I mean. Like, you can't hold these two-handed weapons when you're 100+. So, it's a homebrew.
If you're human.
If you're human.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm just saying, if you're like 100.
But now if they're like, oh, yeah, easy, yeah. I'm only 100, man, come on.
Yeah, just, you know, scale to whatever race you're playing.
Yeah. I'm messing with you a little
No,
bit.
I know.
That would be a fun scene if you do have someone like an elf as a player character, where they're just out running around on this ship being splashed by the river Styx and not really reacting.
Oh, it'd be great if they just like, they're like, ah! And they're like, oh, I'm 50 years older now.
Yeah, there's no change.
I feel different now.
I know.
I suddenly feel like I've gained 50 years of life experience without having any of it.
We say this at the end of every episode, but I think this one more than any of the others so far. I really want to play this.
I want to play this. I don't know if more than any of the others, but I definitely would have a fun time playing this.
I already have a character planned out for who I would play in this.
We've been kicking it around, but definitely now, more than ever, we want to know from you guys, the audience. Gosh, improv has just sought its way into me. But from you guys and the out there in the listener zone, is that something you'd want to do? Do you want us to like DM a thing for you guys with these, and we'll just roll to see which one we get? We will not re-roll to get an original campaign, because that's a different thing. But we will do like one of the ones that we have, and we'll roll for it and figure it out. We still don't know how we do that, but we're looking into it. So tweet us. We'll figure out if that's something we can do.
Join us on the Discord.
Oh yeah, the Discord's always big. We have a very supportive community with a lot of ideas and concepts. Well, when you say it like that, how can they say no?
Only if they pass, they will save.
Yes. Also, to join the Hive, all you need to do is we'll send you 20 boxes of merchandise, which then you have to go out and sell.
Wait. This isn't Girl Scouts. We're not forced.
The Hive is just one big pyramid scheme, baby.
We're bee people, except we aren't made of bees.
But, like, use the hashtag FITG or hashtag FITGRR to let us know if you'd like us to play or not.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Filling in the Gaps. Our theme music is Today by Linby off of the album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more of them at linby.bandcamp.com or on the Actual Play podcast, Bombard It. If you're looking for us on social media, this is David. You can find me at Daedra18, that is Daedra18.
You can find me at The Ruler of Rhyme.
I am at DMMambo5.
On Twitter, you can also follow the show at FitGDND or on our Discord server. We're always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our lists. Give us a shout out. The show is edited by our wonderful audio gremlin, Andrew Brown, who you can follow on Twitter at xnubinator912x. We are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about Obtuse Audio Studios at obtuseaudio.com. It helps us out incredibly if you're able to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or any other podcasting app that you're currently listening to us through. We'd really appreciate it. And one last time, I do really just want to say thank you for listening. We'll see you at the next episode.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.